Urban Beat with Larry Whatley. The issues, the answers, the Urban Beat on Hot 97.3.
We'd like to welcome you to the Urban Beat Show, and this is a guest I've had on several times, and I'm always happy to have him back again. He is a good friend, but he is a writer, and he writes articles in newspapers. He's been on television. He has traveled, I guess, around the world, which is something I just learned. So I'm very impressed by that. But Dr. Sam is our guest. And Dr. Sam is a relationship expert. So we're going to talk about relationships. We're going to talk about marriage. We're going to talk about going together and whatever else he wants to talk about. So, Dr. Sam, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. As always, it's a pleasure and an honor to be here in the midst of your company. And, you know, I'm glad that, you know, your wife joined us after 20 years of you not inviting her. She said she invited herself today. That's good. So the Lord moves in some way. So yeah, she had to do what
you
had to do.
What we do when they ask, we say, yes, dear.
Yeah, sometimes they do it just to come check on you. Like, what you really doing down there? I just need a peek, you know. Yeah. They won't say it out loud, but she didn't check their all the environment and stuff. Want to come in and make sure me and you ain't telling no secrets, I guess.
Well, she's been here with me like every day during the times that I tape the show. So I'm glad she basically takes care of me right now. And I need all the care I can get.
Man, me too. And then some.
You know, really, the floor is open to you in terms of what you'd like to talk about. We had a great conversation last time about marriage, and I'm interested to know what you'd like to talk about today.
Well, one, I got a lot of things that's coming up. Things have changed, which is in a good way. I'm still working on my media company. You know, I have a few people working with me now, and we doing some big things. We're going to be at the first of the year, or November next month, right for the Toledo. I'm going to be in the Toledo Blade, under the Blade News slide. Writing for that paper.
Toledo Blade.
The Blade, and then what's it called? The News Blade Slide section.
Blade Slide section.
Yep, it's a new thing they have through app. They do advertisement billboards and stuff around here that I've seen. But it's a very intriguing offer and platform for us to be a part of. The Millette Media Group. As you know, you might not know, I'm just talking a little business first, is that I'm a full believer in sole ownership of your brand and everything you're doing. So I always try to cut deals as an owner versus an employee, which is nothing wrong with the employee side. I just don't want no middleman in between me and the money. So if I could be that guy and on the platform and saying that, say they like everything I have in the media, radio, all my print articles, even this deal going to Blade, it's all my ownership. All my ownership.
This is something you did on your own.
Yes. Yes.
So you've got some business savvy.
A little bit. Some kind of run on both sides of my family, to be honest with you. My family, the Millettes, was pretty business savvy. Matter of fact, they are for most of them from down North Carolina area and North the East Carolina. Coast. Yeah, they were probably more vicious than me. A little J.R. Hewing-ish. they're good people. But that kind of runs in my blood. It really does in my family. They're very entrepreneurial driven. And I'm just doing my big piece of the pie. I don't want a small piece. I want the whole pie.
I need to latch on to you, and maybe I can learn something. And I guess I've just learned that you have traveled internationally.
Yeah, I did.
On mission trips.
Yeah, for mission trips, more diplomatic. Well, it's a balance of both mission trips and diplomatic trips. The difference between the two is mission trips, you're doing a lot of work. Diplomatic trips, you're doing a lot of talking. You're not necessarily working, you're talking because people want to know. Yeah, handshaking. And one of the biggest things about that trip, I remember I did it, they had a delegate going to the South and Central America, and the other delegate was going to, like, the Netherlands and Europe. And both of those groups asked me to go. I think that was the first time they had ran two trips at the same time, or normally you either go, they just go one.
Right.
But both of those teams asked me to go, so I picked the team that would be the hardest to survive in, because most of them, where I was at, they speak Spanish. I don't know no Spanish, but you get hungry enough, you figure out what to say in Spanish real quick. Or if you got to go to the, what's it called, baño, the bathroom, you figure it out real quick.
Baño.
Yeah, how to go to the bathroom when you thrown in the middle of somewhere that's not your norm.
Yeah.
So I went on that trip, and we went to Central America, Paraguay, Brazil, and all that for a whole month. We traveled, like, from 8 a.m. to 1 a.m. every day. All 30 of them days we was over there. I mean, like, it's relentless. Like, the stamina alone should be on the application. Do you have a lot of stamina?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, you and I have something in common, because we've both been to South America.
Yeah.
Sao Paulo, I think, was one of the places in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. It takes a lot of stamina, especially if you're going to be there as part of the service and also minister to people, because they have thousands of people who show up for church service. May not see that here, but and all 6,000 come forward
that you
have to minister to.
Now, you know, the funny thing about mine wasn't connected to the church at all. Mine was connected to the government, because it was more of a diplomatic trip. It was five of us, and we had a team leader, and we went over there specifically to represent the United States and the stuff we was doing.
Oh.
So we got to go to Parliament. We talked to senators. They call up their Parliament is like our House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked to business owners, local politicians, financiers, you name it, we talked to them. And here's one thing you'd be funny to know, that I probably serenaded at the time, this years ago, probably at least 300 women while I was over there, because I was singing.
Mm-hmm.
They love singing. Like, they eat dinner real late, like 10 o'clock at night, when we on snacks and we in the bed or whatever over here. That's because they have siestas during the middle of the day, mm-hmm. where you take some hours and you rest and take a nap and quit working. And some of them countries like Spain, they had those siestas, and everybody stops working. And so I sung, you know, some songs I was making up. Some I was singing Sam Cooke. You know, I was just singing stuff. They say, Samuel, can you sing Happy Birthday? And the whole nine yards, man. I sung about 29 days straight down there,
well,
at least two or three times a day.
I know you've done television. I know you've written. I know you've authored. I know you've done everything. I did not know you sang.
Yeah, we said. Yeah, that's in the back. That's the little brother coming up to the front, because the radio and the TV and all that other stuff kind of took a lead. But the music is there. Actually, I've had my EP done probably at least a year. I just ain't released it yet. I need to remix a couple of songs, but it's pretty much done. So we getting ready to do that. I put that on the platform. That's gonna be on the Dr. Sam platform. But I'm not Dr. Sam on the album. I don't know who I am yet on the album. I probably might just be Sam, but it's not gonna be Dr. Sam on the album. But yeah, it's real good.
Now I'm gonna show my ignorance here, but I remember LPs. What's an EP?
EP is where you can make songs from six songs down, so 6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Mm-hmm.
That would be considered an EP. One, of course, would be a single. So I have four songs on this one, so that's an EP.
Are these songs that you've written, or that just common songs that you've sung?
No, these songs I've written, all four of them.
Mm-hmm.
And two of them, one of them's a church song called Having a Good Time. Then I got Dearly Beloved as a solo. It's about a man finding a woman of his dreams, and they get married. And then It's You. That's a duet I did with a friend of mine, Nicolina Barciaga. She lives in Michigan. Well, she lived down here now. I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
We did It's You. And then what's the fourth song? hold on. I can't remember the fourth song. But that's okay. That's how long it's been sitting.
Yeah.
About a year.
It'll hit you before the show's over.
Yeah, it hit me. Then I was like, oh, yeah, that's the fourth song. So, yeah, I'm excited about that.
So what's going on with you now? I know I see you from time to time in one of the local newspapers, and you give a lot of great advice for couples or for people who are considering getting married and things like that. What's the big thing on your agenda now?
Well, two things I'm working on has been a blessing. The Dr. Sam show at the first of the year. I might do it right before or after Christmas. Mm-hmm. We're going to be taking the show also to Detroit on WJR. And that's one of the biggest stations in the nation, one of the oldest. Mm-hmm. You know, started May 4th, 1922. And they got huge syndicates on there, syndicated people. And we're going to do a Saturday night show, from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. We're going to be there. And what's the beautiful part about being on that station at night, that a lot of times it travels down half of the East Coast from Detroit. So I'm actually going to go to the studio. I'm not going to do a recording and send it. I'm actually going to go there. So I'll go there. I'm still here on 100.7 Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. So I'll have to do two shows on the weekend. And so I'm really excited about that because that's a huge deal with WJR. The other thing is I got two television projects that I'm developing myself. Mm-hmm. I got a couple of starters, Melanie Smith or Melanie Tate, depends on what day it is. She go by her maiden name and her married name. Well, it's an inside joke.
Long story.
Yeah, and we just started developing her television show. We right at the beginning because, I've done one recording of it because we haven't decided a name yet, you know, but that's no problem. But I'm really excited about what she's doing, man. She's phenomenal. She plays, she can sing, she got great charisma. I mean, she got it. When I say got it, she has it. So it's her and another Angela Blunt. I'm going to be developing her show in a couple of months. And her show is going to be developed pretty much. Part of her core be like helping women understand what men really about and how to figure them out and how to be happy in a good way. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So she's a natural. She's like Oprah before Oprah. I mean, she's very good. So those two ladies, I'm developing their television shows. I'm excited about that. I'm going to do mine. I already do television, but develop my own talk show. But I'm easy. I can do mine in a flash. So that's not really work. Yeah. But I want to work behind the camera.
It comes natural to you.
Yeah, it comes natural to me. So I said, oh, let's move that chair over there. Let's get over here. This is a question we want to ask. Let's flow. Hey, buddy, what's going on with you? So I'm not worried about mine.
Is that done here locally or somewhere else?
I'm going to do it here. I've done some of it in Michigan before, but you mean theirs or mine or all of it?
Yours.
Mine and theirs are going to be done here in Toledo.
Oh, okay.
Toledo, so.
Okay, good.
Got a good location to shoot for while I'm waiting to try to get a studio built. I got my eye on one where I want to do basically create, I want to say similar to what Tyler Perry doing, but it's a little different. And I'm more interested in building and owning networks or building. So that's exactly everything I'm doing is doing that. So I'm at the helm of putting that together. And to be honest with you, a lot of it I learned going to TCT in Detroit, that station I go, you know, for 12 years. I learned a lot by being on television. I've just been intrigued by it ever since. So, and it's a lot of work, but, you know, it's good. It's all good.
You have a big vision.
It's not big enough. Oh, wow. You see what Tyler Perry just did down there?
Did you buy it last?
Yeah, that demolished. Well, ProMedica buying Toledo. And speaking of that, I'm going to tell you something real quick. I've been wondering where ProMedica be getting all this. You know, they've been buying up Toledo because normally if that was just some type of developer that was doing that, they would block him on every side but the end.
Right.
But somebody had told me that I'm going off of what they said, that ProMedica had got a loan for like $220 or $225 million or something like that. Then I understood how they was able to buy up stuff. Cause they, for me, like I didn't know who they were. They like came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to like, okay, let me do kind of what ProMedica doing a little here also, but I'm going to do it like this. I like to put stuff in principles and type stature stuff where I can see it systematically and strategically how something is work. So I watch other companies and what they're doing. And that's what I learned from ProMedica. I got to just take over.
So you understand how the business works.
Yeah, and I'm still learning.
I guess you would have to even get started.
Yeah, and I got help. You know, I ask a lot of questions. It's stuff I don't understand or stuff I'm curious about, I'll ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
just like learning radio business, learning television business, learning how print works, or my speaking engagement, how to engage a crowd or whatever. I'm a learner. Mm-hmm. I really am. I'm a learner.
So how often do you go out and speak?
I haven't. Let me see. The last time I spoke was probably a couple of months ago. I haven't done it in a while. Because I was so wrapped up in the radio and the television, the writing thing, I took a lot of my time. Because not only am I on the air doing that stuff for writing, it actually takes time, your own single time, where you have to actually study. You got to actually get a strategy. You actually have to research and do all of that. But I'm picking back up the speaking. And this year coming, we're going to have my Sambition 2020 Max Life. I've done my Sambitions before.
Uh-huh.
Where I stand on stage and talk about, you know, whatever. I'm going to have two of my experts for my radio show on this one this week. The last one I did was a few years ago. It was called Things Men Need to Know to Make Their Woman Happy. And I just went up there and broke the whole thing down.
Really?
Before that, it was Things Women Should Know to Make Men Happy. And before that, the first one I did, I think it was 2010 or 11, I did Why Men Cheat. And the only reason I did that because women always asking that question. I didn't really want to do that one, but I explained
but
it.
You did.
Yeah, because I tell you, because most women think men just cheat or they say they cheated. But I say a man don't wake up on Tuesday and say, I'm just going to go out and cheat today. That's just what I'm going to do. It's some things that have facilitated themselves over a period of time. And then when a man is done, then he said, I'm either out or he might have the possibility of cheating. Like men, for example, without going deep into it, men get opened up to cheat. They're just not cheaters. Something has to open them up to cheat. Most of the time, it's the woman, not a woman, but the woman in their life that if, and I know, and I'm not saying it's your fault, women. Well, yes, I am. No, I'm not saying it's your fault. But part of it is that men can't really be opened up to cheating unless a woman they love and care about does that.
Unless that woman cheats too?
No, when I say opened up, I mean if she don't understand how he functions, how he works, or what he needs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's vice versa for women too. So most of the time when people cheat, it's because something opened up, some type of void has been created, and it opened up enough for them to either get in a situation, go through a situation, or become a part of a situation that they would cheat in. You know, like if, say, you never gave her no love, you never spent no time with her, mm-hmm. and some man just started, you know, talking to her casually, and most women don't understand if a man even talking to you most of the time, he got either two agendas. He trying to hook up with you because he attracted to you, or he trying to get some type of agenda met where maybe he need a ride, he needs some money, he needs a dinner, he needs a place to stay. That's the other reason. But if he talking to you and he become your friend, for example, he not really your friend just because y'all are friends. He has one of those two attractions. You either attracted to you or this agenda you can help him meet.
Mm. So it's one of those two things.
It's always one of those two things.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a few people challenge me on that, too, and they ain't came up with nothing yet. I said it's only two agenda. Because in real reality, most men, if they have a woman that's a good friend, they don't normally have other women friends. Now, I've heard people say, I grew up with Sally, or I grew up with Betsy, or the woman that say I grew up with Charlie or Chauncey. Well, the only reason Charlie and Chauncey really your friend is because you're attractive and they're attracted to you in some type of way, or it's an agenda you can help them meet. But other than that, they don't need you.
Hmm.
And men, when we have a woman that's really our friend and stuff, we don't really need female friends unless it's something, one of them two things they can help us meet.
Yeah.
So I tell you, years ago, I did this test when I was going to UT. I went and stood in Student Union Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, excuse me, let me ask y'all all a question. That's what I do sometimes. I said, how many of you guys in here have ugly female friends? And I know y'all don't want to say the word ugly. They don't use that no more, but it's still relevant.
Right.
And they all busted out laughing because then none of them raised their hand. I said, I rest my case, Your Honor. Men have, most of the time when men have female friends, they're very attractive if they're attracted to them. Or again, they have women that can help them meet agendas.
Mm-hmm. So they're really not friends. That they're someone that they can help you with something.
Right.
The one of the two things that you mentioned.
Right, right. And I ain't saying there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying that's just what it is. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people I've talked to over the years, they said, well, no, we've been friends in high school. Do you ever wonder why y'all still friends? Like, if I got a good woman and stuff, do I really need you as a friend? I mean, think about it. Do I really need another woman as a friend?
Because you got a friend.
I got a friend. But what could she possibly do for me outside of maybe I go to her for advice about my woman? Or if I got a problem I can't solve that about her, I could ask any woman that question. Especially, I'd rather have somebody objective anyway that's not tied to me because they're going to be biased in the answers. So I might ask a stranger, look here, I did this. What you think about that? You know, so you got to be very careful about that. I always just tell women, if you have any male friends and they always put up an argument about this, that they're only there for those two, one of them two reasons or both. They said, nah, me and Chai, he just loves me. And then here's the real funny one. You'll love this. I'm throwing this one in on radio for free. Anytime a man approaches you, for some reason, he was thinking about sex when he walked up to you. Mm. Now, they really can't believe this. Oh, Chauncey, he was so nice. Though. Yes, Chauncey was thinking about sex. Well, that's why he approached you. He didn't approach you because you look you because your shoes was nice. He approached because he was thinking, because most men have those, we think like that. That's in our DNA, to think sex first. That don't mean he rude, that don't mean he disrespectful. That's just what his mind is on first. And you can shut that down in a nice way or bad way. Depends on the mood you in that day.
So if a man is in a grocery store in the fruit section, and they may ask this person, what do you think about that? Can you help me out with this fruit? They're really not thinking about that. They're thinking other things.
If she attractive, if they're attractive, yeah, they're thinking about getting with her and sexual thoughts first. Mm. I'm not saying permanently. They always first. Mm-hmm. Because he won't go around and ask his grandma over there. not if this was standing up. He's not going to do that.
Yeah.
He's not going to do that. It is nothing wrong. That's just how we think. Uh-huh. And sometimes it's real hard. That's for my friends that's maybe in their 40s and 50s to think that, because when they run into a man that seems nice and charming, they honestly think that he's just there for that reason. No, I tell him he was attracted to you. That's why he walked up to you like that. And then when they become friends, and I said, I always ask him, who's pushing the friendship, him or you? If it's him, he stand that way until he finds some type of crack or he not interested anymore.
Mm-hmm. So what is the...
See how we got off in the conversation.
But we're going to turn this around because this is something good to stay on. Does a woman act similarly, or is her agenda a whole different thing?
A woman acts similarly, but she carries it out different. See, one thing that women do that cracks me up to no end, they send men all these indirect signals when they're interested in, and men don't notice none of them.
Yeah.
They don't notice none of them. Mm-hmm. They don't notice none. It took me years that I would notice little stuff, but I wouldn't notice it to take it like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I would just say, man, that was odd. I done seen her in the same aisle I've been in like four times. She really forgetting what she... See, I wouldn't think like that, but that ain't why she in the aisle. She in the aisle because I'm in the aisle. Right. And I'm saying that as an example because I've actually seen that happen to me. Well, I was with one of my buddies. I said, man, that girl was, she was just over there. She back over here? And I'm thinking like, man, she must ain't that smart.
And she ain't even looking at you.
No, she just, they do certain things, turn a certain way, flip their hair, eye contact. I've even seen them bend over and pick up a pencil in a way that'll get most men saved at the church. They do all these things, but the funny part, most men, 95% of men don't notice any direct, because we don't operate on indirect conversation or communicate. We're direct. So the woman literally has to walk up to him and say, you know what, man, you look good. You want to go get coffee? Then we like, oh, okay, cool. Right. But if she walk around us 100 times in the same eye, we not noticing nothing. We just like thinking, there's something wrong with her. Yes.
You're like this.
Right.
You're only here to get some milk.
Yes. Men communicate A, B, or 1, 2. Women communicate A to A, 1, to infinity of indirect communicate. That's how they communicate. Mm. And men are not very good at that. We just not paying attention. You know, so women work hard at indirect communication, but a lot of times, unless you do something direct, he not picking up any of that. I know that's sad for you, ladies and day, but it's just truth. That's what it is.
Jeez, I forgot my question. So women have strategies and men have strategies if they're attracted to someone.
No, women have strategies like CIA, FBI type strategy. Mm-hmm. Men have strategies like Sesame Street. One plus one is two. Two plus three is three. Because men, the
it's
average.
It's not that the men are dumb. It's just that their minds operate differently.
Right. And some of them are dumb. But I'm not talking about that today.
About the
but
right
they
now.
Are they operate different because we sold 1 2 1 and 1 equals 2. Women doing calculus, algebra, trigonometry, statistics. They doing all of that because they're very strategic. I think it was Anthony Anderson in that movie Two Can Play That Game. He said that the CIA ain't got nothing on a woman with an agenda. And he telling the truth. Women outthink us 100 billion to 1. The things that the only reason we have hope is because God respected us enough to get him emotions. Because women are defenseless against their own emotion. That's the playing field. If they was more logical like us, we wouldn't have a chance. They would win every game, every contest. They beat us at. But because their emotions make a lot of their decisions sometimes, even though they be 10 billion times smarter than us, and they make a lot of their decisions, that's how they get in a lot of trouble with men they ain't got no business being with. That wasn't an objective decision. That was an emotional decision. Because emotions, which I've said many times, are not made to make decisions. What they're made for is to endorse objective decisions. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's where the playing field is closer to even for us. If that wasn't there, man, we wouldn't have.
You have, I'm sure you whetted a lot of people's appetites about this conversation. We just kind of got into it.
Yes, sir.
And I don't really, I know you've got some other things to talk about. So can I ask you a favor?
Yes, sir. It's done. Whatever you say. And whatever you say is done.
Can you come back next week?
Yes, sir. I can do that.
Well, that's what we're going to do because we just scratched the surface and we're out of time.
Okay.
Got to have you come back.
Got to come back. You can bring the wife back too? She got back to the second show. All right, good. Cause she ain't through nothing to either one of us yet, so everything is cool.
Well, when do I get home?
Yeah, you call me. He says, "That you? You got me in a lot of trouble. What you say that for? I'm here in the closet.
I'm not
on that.
Having you back ever again." Dr. Sam, as usual, it's a pleasure having you here. It's always good and fun and informative to talk to you. You have a whole lot of wisdom that a lot of men don't have. So I thank you for coming.
Thank you, sir.
And I'll be with you again next week.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. We'd like to thank you for listening to the Urban Beat Show. I'm your host, Larry Watley. Have a good day.
The opinions expressed are those of the host and guests, and not necessarily those of WJZE, Hot 97.3.